This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Illinois' weekly crop and weather report was released. Warm, dry conditions continued throughout the state last week, allowing farmers to continue planting. Statewide, precipitation averaged 0.62 inches, 0.35 inches below normal. Temperatures averaged 74 degrees, 7.2 degrees above normal. There were 5.4 days suitable for field work. Corn planting increased to 98% complete, while corn emerged reached 91%. Soybeans planted reached 85%, ahead of the five-year average of 65%. Soybeans emerged reached 59%, ahead of the five-year average of 44%. Winter wheat headed reached 88%, behind the five-year average of 94%. Topsoil moisture was rated at 1% very short, 13% short, 77% adequate, and 9% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 4% very short, 18% short, 75% adequate, and 3% surplus. Winter wheat condition was rated at 2% very poor, 5% poor, 26% fair, 48% good, and 19% excellent. Many farmers have either finished planting or are wrapping things up pretty quickly. So far, the weather conditions and the good progress of the crop is creating a bearish market, according to market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, we continue to be under a bearish cloud in the grain and oilseed markets. And first of all, the trade is focused on what they consider to be big global stocks, although that's really a question of is the glass half empty or half full, because if there were a legitimate threat somewhere in the world, suddenly the glass would be half empty. But that threat doesn't really exist at this point. The weather pattern over the Midwest is deemed to be favorable for high yields, and in fact, USDA's crop ratings that came out late on Monday confirmed that with the sixth highest corn ratings to start the season that we've seen on record for this week of the year. So overall, there's very little to convince the trade otherwise as they look toward a national average yield of somewhere between 165 and 170 bushels per acre. And so the sell-off continues. Having said that, the corn and wheat markets are oversold and due for a bounce, and I would anticipate that that will happen, if not this week, at some point ahead of next week's USDA crop report. But that will be seen as a bounce to be sold by the fund managers until or unless some legitimate threat emerges.
So far, not too many concerns as far as traders are concerned.
Absolutely. If you look at the corn crop, it's off to a great start, a little bit slow along the northern border, the northern states in the belt. But the crop progress report showing the crop's getting planted there as well. Soybeans getting started right on pace with normal overall for the national crop. And the soft red winter wheat crop looking very good as well, with the tour confirming that this week and some good yields there. So overall, the trade is focused on big crops and big supplies with no threats to that supply. And so now they're simply trying to drive prices lower in order to stimulate the demand for U.S. commodities.
And last time we talked, that was an issue in the northern part of the Midwest that they were not getting their crops in. Do they seem to be catching up?
They are. There are some delays in some key states, particularly North Dakota, parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. Michigan's probably has the greater problems at this point. But overall, they're very comparable or better than what they were a year ago in most of those states. And a weather pattern that suggests that while there will be interruptions, that they will be able to get the crops planted. We will probably lose a few acres in that area. There will be some prevented planting acres, but traders are assuming, A, that we're going to make up for that with increased acres in other parts in the Midwest where planting has gone better, and B, that yield is the bigger multiplier at this point, and higher yields will more than offset the lost acres.
And in comparison to last year, there will probably be a whole lot less prevented plant acres for this year.
Absolutely. Last year was a disaster for many areas, particularly in the northwestern Midwest, and it looks like that prevented planting is going to be a smaller factor this year.
And so far, it doesn't look like there are any diseases or pests to give anyone concern as far as the growing wheat crop, corn crop, and soybean crops.
Absolutely good growing conditions. We're keeping an eye on the soft red winter wheat crop. It's been very delayed maturity to this point, but that's probably been good as long as we can avoid any significant heat. Of course, with all the moisture in the area, we're certainly going to have to be on the alert for possible problems with scab, but so far no big alerts as far as widespread problems have come up.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. Stay tuned after the break where we'll hear Suderman's analysis of the livestock markets. We'll be back after this. Unlike the grain markets, which are being fed by what traders believe will be a large, healthy harvest, the livestock markets are showing the wear of low livestock numbers and consumers who are fighting high prices. Market analyst Arlen Suderman has more.
Well, as we look at the livestock market, we continue to see probably what stands out the most is the bullishness in the feeder cattle market, which once again, the cash index there has set a new record all-time high, just below $194. That market seems to have its eyes set on testing the $200 mark and very well may do so this week. I think the real threat in the meat complex overall is what the availability of disposable income is for the consumer in order to pay these higher prices at the retail level. And as we look at the live cattle market, I think we're really starting to see that resistance from the consumer. Box beef prices are at levels where throughout the spring we have seen a kickback from the retailer at these price levels, and demand has dropped. We're seeing similar problems trying to move pork now at these price levels as well. So that's the real concern, is the health of the economy and some of the economic data coming out lately has been discouraging, with consumer confidence taking a dip in the month of May. We really need to see the economy pick up, see the consumer have more disposable income, lower energy prices to enable them to pay up. We know that supplies are tight. It's just whether the consumer will be able to pay these prices, or will the consumer shift away from beef toward pork or away from pork toward poultry.
So far the nice weather is not encouraging the consumers to get out there and start grilling and encourage them to buy these meat products.
Yeah, I think that really shows up in the choice select spread that we see in box beef prices, which has really faltered this spring. And normally that shows seasonally in the spring, that high demand for steaks, and we see it in pork chop demand as well for the grilling season. But with the cool spring that we had and the sluggish economy, we never really did get the type of barbecue season that we need to stimulate that demand and make the consumer feel good about spending the money for those higher cuts.
Now, since the USDA has started requesting information on farms that were infected with PEDV, have we seen any effect from that? Is there more pessimism or less pessimism as concerns the hog industry with the PED virus, or has it not changed anything yet?
Probably the biggest thing that stands out is the confirmation of the recurrence of the disease. Typically, when a disease like this hits, there would be some immunity that would start to build up in a herd after the herd has had the disease, and you could go for maybe several years without any problems following that. But now we're seeing recurrences of the disease, and so the same operation gets hit more than one time, which is devastating on the operation itself. That's probably some of the most urgent news that we've seen out of this reporting system, and most concerning to the industry.
Do we know yet if there are any significant number of hog farms who are going out of business due to this disease?
I haven't seen any numbers yet. We know that with the economic impact that this is having on individual operations, the word from the industry is that we will be losing both some small and large operations most likely. But I haven't seen anyone really put together the numbers on that and to correlate that.
All right, but a lot of eyes on the pig industry this week due to the National Pork Expo that's going on out in Iowa.
And that should certainly create some news and some more talk about the PED virus. That's certainly on the front burner of the entire industry right now, and I think its greatest threat at the present time.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. World Pork Expo begins tomorrow in Des Moines, Iowa, and in preparation, the National Pork Producers Council gathered veterinary experts together to determine the best ways to prevent the potential for disease transmission through the expo. NPPC CEO Neil Dirks says the experts have assured stringent health requirements are in place for the expo shows and sales. Attendees are asked to observe good biosecurity practices, including wearing clean clothing and shoes that have not been inside a pork production facility. All swine barns and pens are also being disinfected before the pigs arrive and will again be disinfected after the expo. Attendees will also have the opportunity to disinfect their shoes before going home in specially designed stations near the exits. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besch. Thanks for tuning in.